Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What is going on, everybody? The interns are back here for no matter what. The last pregame pod of the year. Washington playing in the national championship against the Michigan Wolverines. I guess, Luke, just to kick, I mean, we've obviously been through a whirlwind of emotions this season with a numerous amount of games, but where's this one rank at?
Obviously, it's got to be one. There's just, I don't know, it's surreal. I was doing some reflection today just on how, I'm sure you feel the same way, growing up really in pretty much the dark era of Husky football. And then since we've been in school, the Huskies have made four New Year's Six Bowl appearances. They actually got one done last week and have an opportunity to win the first championship since 1991, which would be unreal.
I know. It's just crazy because, you know, we grew up, we weren't, I guess, in the glory days, as, you know, Husky fans would say, you know, in the early 90s when, you know, this team was just a national powerhouse, national titles, Rose Bowls, all that stuff, you know, and sure, we got to experience, you know, going to some of those games, like you said, in college, you know, the Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl. But, you know, it just felt like we never were, even obviously the CFP and Peach Bowl too, but it just felt like there was a different hurdle we hadn't climbed over yet. And it finally feels like we climbed over that hurdle and our experience, the first outright national title, have the chance to win the first outright national title in school's history, I guess. It's just crazy stuff. And, you know, even thinking back 2 years ago, who would have thought that we would not only be here in the national title game, if you're looking at 2 years ago, and then also that Kalen DeBoer would be the guy to do it too.
Totally.
You know, I think people had a mixed feelings about that hire immediately. Obviously, it was known as an offensive genius, but, you know, Matt Campbell, Dave Aranda, Dave Clawson, those were guys people were hoping to get, and we get Kalen DeBoer, and it turns out, man, this guy just has the right keys to the right car, man. And he's just driving this like a machine already.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like you said, lots of, I guess, kind of mixed thoughts or at least curiosity around who the candidate would be. And I think a lot of people, I don't know. I mean, just to be fully honest, I think as a fan going through it, I've at least at a time, I thought Matt Campbell was kind of like the top coaching candidate available. And I'm so happy to be proven as wrong as I have been.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, I remember at the beginning of that process, I was just like, oh, you know, kind of hope we get Campbell.
Yeah.
And then you hear like, oh, this Kalen DeBoer guy's in the mix. You're like, who the heck is he? Like, you know, we need a bigger fish. You know, we need one of these top guys that are out there, you know, pay him the bag, whatever. But turns out we got our guy, and, you know, hopefully he's here for a long time, because this might be, you know, not all of his players that he's coaching, but I think he's for sure the right guy at the helm.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And then obviously they have, I think it's funny that you mentioned it, you couldn't have thought this was possible a couple of years ago, a little more than 2 years ago, 2 years, maybe 3 months ago, the Huskies took on this very Michigan team that they'll be facing and got just absolutely shellacked. You and I were both there 31-10 in the Big House. And I think that's another, I guess, opportunity to measure the difference in how far Washington has come. Is like Michigan was a playoff team that year, and then the next year, and then this year as well. Washington has closed that gap.
Yeah, both teams have a lot of the same players on their roster still.
Yeah, yeah. So, the Huskies have come a long way. I remember Blake Corum was on that team, kind of an up and comer. I can't remember who. Donovan Edwards was also on that team, right?
Was he a freshman that year? He must have been. No, they had the he might have been a no. He might have been. I think you might be right. He might have been a
Trying to
true freshman.
remember, but
But they had
regardless,
another
that's he's
stud. They
come
had
quite a
another stud
way.
running. They had another stud running back who was kind of splitting carries with Corum that year, I think. Hassan Haskins, that's who it was.
That's right. Yes, correct. Edwards was on the team, but was definitely the third back. But nevertheless, that he's now are facing the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan, number one ranked team in the country. They won in overtime against Alabama, a game that statistically they were the better side. They still had to come back and win, though. A couple of mistakes put them in a hole early. They're able to dig their way out. And they are a battle-tested team as well. They've beaten Ohio State now. Iowa, one of the better defenses in the country. And now the Alabama Crimson Tide, who knocked off Georgia earlier this year. Jack, what are kind of your initial thoughts of Washington's opponent?
Yeah, I think I'm excited for a number of reasons too. Kind of like oh, everything we laid out with having the chance to beat the team that beat you 2 years ago in a big setting. But I think this is a great team for Washington to face in the national title. It's a winnable game. I think it's a winnable game. You know, these last couple of years, you know, I don't think Washington, even if they had the team this year that they have, you know, I think it, going up against a Georgia or Alabama with the kind of players that they had on their sidelines would have been a bit much tougher test. And I think this is definitely a winnable team, and they haven't faced an offense like Washington all year. And when you haven't faced like Washington, an offense like Washington all year, how do you prep for a team like that? You know, who's the best offense they faced? Ohio State, Maryland, Alabama, all offenses who you probably wouldn't consider elite this year. Ohio State obviously has playmakers, but they don't have a guy slinging the ball downfield like Michael Penix. So the best quarterback they face is Jalen Milroe,
Yeah,
and no.
Talia Tagovailoa.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is a different animal for Michigan to face. And I think as we kind of go, we could start offensively. I think because, you know, Washington, I'm sure we're on the same thing about this, but Washington's got to be able to keep Michael Penix upright and be able to have a clean pocket for them to move the ball downfield. They can do that. They'll be able to hang with them or be ahead of them the whole game. But I think that offensive line is a huge key.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I mean, the offensive line, I think, continues to have a lot of motivation. The national media continues to just feed content to the Washington Huskies, which is crazy. But yeah, I think that that's essential. Michigan, I will say, obviously has a very great secondary. Will Johnson is a fantastic corner. Not only is he great in coverage, he's also a big guy, 6'2", 210 pounds. So he's one of the few. That Roma, but Roe Torrence is really the only person I can think of in the Pac-12 that maybe physically could compare with Roma Dunze, right? So that will be tough. Mike Sander still, Nickelback has five interceptions on the season. He's another good player. However, and this might be the underlying fan in me, but I think if given time, I think that Washington, with their big three receiving options, and then Giles Jackson and Jermy Bernard, Jack Westover, Devin Culp, it's not a question of whether or not they'll be able to move the ball if Michael Penix has time to throw. I think the Huskies, I mean, I think the Huskies, I know for a fact the Huskies are the best pass offense in the country. It'll be fire against fire when the Huskies have the ball, which will be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. And yeah, got to keep him upright. You know, Mike Sander still, as you mentioned, he's a great nickelback, former wide receiver turned cornerback. And he's been nothing but explosive for this team defensively. And, you know, Penix, I feel like if you're going to win this game too, got to win the turnover battle. And Penix, you know, you think about a lot of the games this year, maybe once, twice, there'll be a throw he makes. Uh-oh. And it's in the wrong area, pick, or you know, something bad could happen. Don't want to get it in that guy's area. He is when he has a chance to make a play, he'll make a play. And you expect him to work up against Jalen McMillan. I think that's a fascinating matchup to watch. But I think a key for Washington offensively is Jalen Polk, because you know, usually we found out, you know, when Washington has that next guy, or you know, when Jalen Polk's been playing well this year, typically the Washington offense is humming along. And so I think Jalen Polk is going to be huge in this game. You know, you expect them to take some shots. Big play JP, as Tony DeCastrocone likes to say, needs to come up and make a couple big plays, I think, if Washington's to win.
Certainly. I want to go back to the turnover thing. Like you said, that'll be essential. I think like you said, there have certainly been moments throughout his 2 years at UW where, I think back to a number of games where maybe an ill-advised throw comes up, and otherwise, no one doubts that Michael Penix is unbelievable.
Exactly.
But I think his game against Texas was obvious. I mean, it goes without saying, the most unbelievable individual performance I think I've seen in college football as a Husky fan. And he, I cannot recall a throw that was sketchy in my mind. Right,
Yeah.
the closest one, the only ball that a Texas player got their hands on was ended in a touchdown to Jalen Polk, and that was a
I don't even
one-on-one
know
just
what it's.
rifle across the middle. Like, I would not consider that a dangerous throw.
I don't even think the Texas player got a hand on it. I think Jalen Polk tipped to
Really?
himself.
Yeah. So,
So.
regardless, I was going to say Michael Penix in on the brightest stage the Huskies have played on, was just flawless with the football. And another thing I'll say about Penix, throughout his career, if you look back to last year against Oregon, or this year, both games against Oregon, USC, and now the Sugar Bowl, when Washington needs Michael Penix's best, he brings it every time. So that's another thing that I think is going to be exciting to watch. This is, obviously, it goes without saying, it is for everybody on the field, but it's a legacy game
It
for,
is.
yeah.
I mean, it's
Every
he's
it is for every single player on the field.
for sure. And also, I mean, obviously we've talked so much about this offense already. We haven't even got to Dylan Johnson. You know,
Yeah.
I'm curious to you, because I mean I have some thoughts on this as well. How big of an impact do you feel like Dylan Johnson, or you know, have a role, whatever you call it? How big of a presence does Jalen Johnson have to make on this game?
I think Dylan Johnson will, well, first of all, I think he'll be as close to full speed as basically, I think he'll be essentially health-wise what he has been. I don't know if you've heard anything different, Jack, but it sounds like he's in pain, but he has been in pain for the last little bit. And it sounds like he's going to play. So I don't think there's anything new to report there. I think it's important. I want to go back and find this. I have notes on it somewhere. But what would you say are the two best offenses that Michigan has played this year, Ohio State and Alabama?
Yeah.
Not fair. So, Michigan obviously plays great defense. And then I think in these two games, they gave up roughly 3.8-ish yards per carry. That, of course, includes sacks. So it's not like they're getting gouged. But in those two games, they gave up 139.5 on the ground per game. I think the Washington, like Dylan Johnson, is an exceptional running back. I think the Husky offensive line is great, especially in pass protection, but I think that they can move some guys. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Huskies. They rushed for over 1,000 or over 100 against Texas. It required a lot from Michael Penix, but I think that the Huskies will eclipse triple digits rushing the ball. I don't know what you think. That might be a hot take, but I think that Dylan Johnson will give the Huskies enough to keep Michigan's defense honest, give them manageable situations, and keep the sticks moving. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I also think they're going to really try to utilize Tybo Rogers specifically, you know, outside, not in between, outside the tackles. I think that's where he's best. You could see some sweeps to him. Obviously, it wouldn't be rushing, but I think they're going to swing pass it out to him and whatnot. But Dylan Johnson, yeah, I think you're right. Michigan and too, Washington's offensive line, kind of like we mentioned earlier, keeps getting picked on for winning the Joe Moore Award. You know, and this is the best offensive line they faced probably this year as well. So Washington, I think if they can establish something on the ground, it's really going to open things up in the passing game. You know, Michigan really physical. Obviously, that translates from their offensive side of the ball. But you know, if you're able to, you know, break that some of that physicality down and you know, get them in space, I think that's going to be huge.
Certainly. I think where Washington needs to, there's two sides to this, but I think that Michigan, even I think that Washington will be able to move the ball, without having a stat in front of me, just given that they're giving up 10.2 points a game. I have a feeling that Michigan's hard to punch it in against. I think that Washington, either red zone offense, but I think even more so, I think Washington, with its ability to make explosive plays in the
Yeah.
pass game, might need to score from a long ways out a time or two.
Kind of like they did against Texas.
Yes. Obviously, it didn't end up in a touchdown for JP, but that play was more like that 77 yard throw to JP gives them four tries from 2 yards out. I think both the throw to J-Mac and to JP were from outside of the red zone. I think Washington will have to do that again. The Huskies got a little tight against, I mean, Texas, just with their ability to clog up the middle, made it hard on Washington in the red zone. I think Michigan will do the same.
Yeah, but think
I
about it.
think, well,
It's not good to tech. Texas is the best team in the nation, supposedly, at that too. So,
yeah, certainly. It's just a thought that I think Washington will have to be
yeah,
taking shots at the end zone once they're in plus territory.
for sure.
Yes.
I'm gonna say this though. You have me on record saying this. I'm calling my shot. First
Yeah.
touchdown of the game is gonna be the Jeremy Bernard end around handoff.
You think so?
Yep, that's my gut.
I
That's a,
love
that's my
it.
gut.
I'll remember this.
Yeah.
Watch me on
Oh,
Monday.
it'll be a Twitter clip once I'm right. But
Okay.
I have the script to the game, if you didn't know. I won't
Again.
spoil anything, but I got the script.
Again. We seem to
But
be
I
in
guess
good spirits. I have a good feeling it's a good script.
it's
Speaking of
George.
scripting, Jack, I think another thing that's important, like Michigan is not a team that moves fast. They're, I think, 122nd in offensive plays run per game. If Washington, and the reason I say scripting, I think Washington is one of the best in the country out of the start of the game and out of the second half to put together scoring drives on their first drive, right?
Yeah.
Washington, I think, has an opportunity whether or not they start on offense. Like if they can punch it in on their first drive, I think can put Michigan in an uncertain, like, or an unfamiliar situation, right? So.
I think bridging that gap too, kind of between the offense and defense, you know, I think Washington, if they're able to control the tempo of the game, and by that, you, like you said, get out in front, get a touchdown early on, and then maybe force Michigan to a punt, get a field, whatever it might be, you get 7, 10 points ahead. I think that could make Michigan panic. You don't want to play from behind against Michigan or keep it in a super tight game because they are kind of like that boa constrictor where they just wait for their moment and then they collapse you. But if you're able to get ahead of them, this is a team, Luke, that hasn't came back for more than 7 points since 2015.
Wow.
Obviously, it says a lot about their winning. But it also says if you're able to control the tempo against a Harbaugh team, you're able to get up, they're probably not coming back.
That's an excellent stat.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So when you look at this Michigan offense, I guess we'll start obviously with Blake Corum. It's a Michigan offense. It's interesting, I think, in the way that they run the ball. They average 4.4 yards per carry and only 123 rushing yards per. Oh, no, holy cow. Looking at the wrong things.
Yeah,
They
I was
average
going to
4.3 yards per carry, but 160 a game on the ground. They're a team that I would say Like, I think efficiency people love Michigan in the way they run the ball. Blake Corum's averaging like just under 5 yards a pop. He might not be as explosive as he was last year, but he's a guy that just continually puts Michigan in second and medium, third and short, able to move the sticks with relative ease. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's just one thing that stands out. Washington, I feel like at times, is able to bottle tailbacks up for gains of not a lot, but not necessarily negative plays. And that feels like something that is nerve-wracking as a Husky fan to me, is Michigan potentially just having like third and two, third and one, like even like fourth and one, and just being able to sustain these like 13, 14 play drives where they continue to move the sticks on the ground. Yeah.
I completely agree with you there. I think, but I will say this, you know, I think a lot of Husky fans, something I've heard this week too, is, you know, gosh, we didn't look good against the run against Texas. You know, they were running the ball very well. But I think this is a matchup where Michigan's not going to spread you out. They're going to come right at you. And I think that plays into Washington's favor a little bit in terms of, you know, scheme schematically, where Texas is, you know, they're going to spread you out. They're really versatile. They got weapons on the outside. You know, the only the Michigan Loveland, the tight end, and then Roman Wilson, the receiver, the only two weapons really they look at when going through the air. So I think Washington's going to be able to, you know, really play the gaps in the offensive line and really focus on that run and the run stuffing. And I think that could play to their strength as opposed to, you know, being nervous about how they're going to spread you out and move the ball vertically. That's just not what they do. So I think that plays into Washington's strength, and I'm interested to see kind of how William Inge and Chuck Morrell attack that, because they are a physical team. They're going to try and punch you in the mouth. And Washington, if you're able to get a couple stops, kind of like we said, you know, you're able to turn, like get those, you're able to get that this team into third and four instead of third and two, third and one. This is going to be big.
Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned Roman Wilson. I think in a way, like I was thinking about this. It's in my prediction on dogman.com, but offensively, Michigan reminds me with their ability to throw the ball. But I think they're similar to Texas. They have a speedster in Roman Wilson. They have a big target in Cornelius Johnson, and then a dynamic tight end in Colston Loveland. I do think that maybe the difference is the difference in Cornelius Johnson versus A.D. Mitchell. But I think, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to say because J.J. McCarthy, I mean, I think every time I look at J.J. McCarthy's numbers, I'm surprised by like, wow, he's actually pretty darn good. You know, like averaging nearly 10 yards an attempt, has only thrown four interceptions, very efficient. But I think that Jabbar Muhammad has really emerged. I'll continue to kind of go back to that as someone who can lock up a side of the field. I like that matchup against Roman Wilson the way that I liked it against Xavier Worthy, and we turned out to be right about that. And then again, Elijah Jackson comes up with the play of his career. He got burned once by Xavier Worthy, and then A.D. Mitchell got him on a jump ball, but then he had the final laugh. Him and Cornelius Johnson, again, I think that like I feel that EJ will continue to rise to the occasion, and that was a big confidence shot in the arm. Where Texas was really able to gash, I feel like was really just end of half situations where the Huskies are in prevent, you know? So, and it's just tough. That's kind of what happens when you have to be in that sort of a situation, right? But I think, like, I don't know. JJ's been super efficient, but you've got to think, like you said, the Huskies are going to try to meet Michigan at the point of attack. Michigan wants to come right at Washington. Washington will want to answer the bell, and then it's going to be like opportunities for JJ maybe to beat the Huskies over the top or across the middle.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of why you want to be ahead in this game, because there hasn't been a time this year, really, outside of that final drive where against Alabama, where he did look fantastic, that Michigan has had to, you know, rely on them getting down the field quick through the air. They've just, like we've said, they're that boa constrictor team. And so if you're able to put them in situations where they're probably a little uncomfortable throwing the ball constantly,
Yeah.
that could prove well.
Certainly. This is another thing. And maybe I feel like I'm using this as an outlet to dump all the things that make me feel like Washington could win this game. But Michigan, the way that like the tempo of their offense, the way that they play, all those sorts of things, I don't picture just getting out and running away with it. You know, I think
No.
Washington is explosive enough that I feel like they'll be able to stay within striking distance. But I do think, like you said, if Washington is able, whether it's they start with the ball and script together an amazing first drive where they punch it in, or if they're able to get a stop and then answer with a score on their first drive, I think that, like, obviously, I've heard people say online that I just see more game simulations or situations in which Michigan wins this game. I think that the situations where Washington wins start with them leading early.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
I agree. I agree too. And gosh, I mean, there's just so many thoughts just running through the head right now too. Just about to get, it's just crazy and surreal. And gonna be there too, which is just
I know, I'm jealous.
even crazier. But I think the turnover battle kind of, I think that turnover battle and, you know, being able to stay in striking distance where, you know, you've built up your whole year, you know, your whole resume, your whole resume and your whole theme has been being in these close games and pulling these close games out. And Washington's better tested than anybody in the country to do this. So you know it's going to be a close game too, just by the styles that both teams play. You know, Washington's able to score the ball well. Michigan just slows everything down, but they find a way to get it done. Just know
Certainly.
it's going to be close. Special teams, I think, are key too. Both teams made mistakes in their New Year's Six Bowl wins, but you got to be able to make field goals that are going to get you points. You got to be able to take care of the ball, and you got to be able to make a couple big plays, kickoff coverage, whatever it might be. And I think that's huge too, actually, Luke. Thinking about it now, you know, if you're able to get a couple big kickoff coverages where, you know, Michigan's starting from their own 15 to 20 instead of their own 25 to 35, that's gonna help out a lot.
Yeah, Washington, it was really the first time last week that I felt Washington got beat on kickoff
Yeah,
coverage.
I agree.
All season long, they've been ridiculous in that category. So, oh, it looks like we're running out a little bit of time. Jack, does it see? Oh, no, we got 10 minutes according to Zoom. So, nevertheless, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. This is kind of switching back to the offensive side, but the Huskies. It was only three times, and one of them was a scramble. But the Washington Huskies they dialed up two sort of run plays for Michael Penix. I know one was an inverted veer.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other one was. Obviously, he looks healthy. You think that's something that the Huskies go back to? I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to run for 50 yards or even more than three times, but is that something that, like, do you think they just saw something specifically against Texas and wanted to try to, like, exploit? I don't know whether it's isolate one of those bigger guys and make them choose between Dylan Johnson or Michael Penix? Or do you think that they feel that Michael's healthy and it's at to the point of the season where it's like we're willing to let him put his body on the line for a few extra?
I think a little bit of that, and then also just be like, hey, Texas got beat on some deep balls earlier. They probably saw some coverage where they're probably playing a little bit on their heels, thinking a deep play might come. Go send your wide receivers deep, your linebackers follow and trail, and then boom, that leaves the middle of the field open for a guy like Michael who can get it done, who has enough speed to get it done, run for a first down and a couple more.
Yeah, absolutely. So, bet to bark. I do want to say this. Last week, unfortunately, we did our pod too late for it to be posted. But Jack, do you remember who my defensive bet to bark was?
Elijah Jackson, I believe.
It was Elijah Jackson.
I
So
thought about that right after
I'm
the game. That was one of the first things I thought about.
just want everyone. just want the world to know that. But Jack, I'll let you kick it off. You can choose the side of the ball you want to go with, but
I'll pick offense first. I'm gonna go steal one of Luke's classics, bet to bark. You could steal the same thing too. We might have the same one. I think it's the offensive line. You know, if they're able to keep Penix upright, they're able to give him time. You're able to get some running lanes. I think this is the group that controls the game, man.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of the ones that was definitely in my head to pick. I'd picked him last week, and I've picked him a couple times throughout the season, and I really like that call. This one may be basic, but, like, I don't know if you've gone and listened to on the Go Huskies podcast, Tony's top 23 moments from the 2023 season. If you haven't, it's awesome. But there's one guy. I mean, obviously, there's two guys that keep showing up throughout that entire episode. Obviously, Michael Penix goes without saying, but then Rome Odunze, I feel like, is always on the receiving end of big moments. in a national title win, there are bound to be big moments. So I like Roma Dunze as my bet to bark, coming up with a crucial catch or touchdown late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, can't go wrong with Rome, right?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Exactly. If he has a big game too, I think it's going to open up a lot of things for the other receivers as well. You're going to start moving some people over him, shading over there a little bit. I think that's great. Defensively, I'm going to go with Tuli Nasunoa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's a name that might have came to your mind as well.
Certainly.
I was battling between him and Edifuanu Lofosio. But I think
I'm say that. I'll let you finish your explanation.
Yeah. I just think, gosh, you know, this is a team that's going to run the ball hard. They're going to run the ball at you. And if you're able to clog, like we said, you're able to clog up some running lanes. Blake Corum goes for 3 instead of 5 on second down. That could make the difference. You know, those are the kind of things that really are going to really matter in this game. And so I think Tuli has to have his best game as a Husky here.
Absolutely.
Today.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you said you were choosing between Tuli and Eddie, because I was too. So I'll go Eddie. But like you said, I mean, I think Tuli's the guy who holds and pushes back the line, and you need someone to come up and clean it up. So I think I'm worth 10 tackles from Eddie, a couple in the backfield. And I think that he will be a tone setter for Washington. And also, I mean, it's so many people's final game, but he's a guy that's been around the program forever. And I think wants to leave his legacy in a big way.
Yeah, plays with a lot of heart, plays a lot of energy. This is the game, man, where you can see him having a huge impact in what he's doing. And now we're heading over, I guess, to confidence interval now. Luke, I'll let you kick us off here. National championship.
Yeah.
Confidence interval. We're here. In case you haven't heard, the Washington Huskies are in the national championship. What's your confidence interval for bringing the trophy back?
Mine is, gosh, I'm going back and forth between 5.5 and 5.75. I think just to scale it back and like give the kind of just with like the harrowing thought that it is the national championship, I'll go 5.5. I mean, I think it's hard to bet against the Huskies. They find a way to get it done week in and week out. Another thing I will mention, Kalen DeBoer is a championship winner. and like, I think that he, I don't know. I just think it's awesome to watch the way that he conducts himself in these settings. He has a ton of composure. I think the team will be very composed and have, I don't know, just like a healthy, very serious, but calm mindset, I guess. And I think that will go a long way. Jack, what's yours?
Yeah, I literally, you took all the words right out of my mouth, including the confidence interval, 5.5. It's the national championship game. You're going to be nervous. Both teams are here for a reason. Both teams are the two best teams in the country for a reason. But I think Washington, they like we said, we've talked about it. They just find a way to get things done in these big games. And, you know, like you said about DeBoer, he's just a winner, man, and winners win. That's just what they do, and he knows how to do that. Almost better than anybody in the country at this point, I'll say. I think he's, like you said, he's so calm and composed. And I think that translates over really well to a team. And I also, a team that feels, this team has nothing to lose too. Their backs aren't against the wall. They are just, they're just ready to go out there and play. I think they're not, I don't feel like they should feel any types of pressure necessarily too, because the reality is they weren't supposed to be here. They're the underdogs. They're playing with house money, so let them ride, let them loose. And I think, you know, I think that starts with Penix and DeBoer. If both of those guys are feeling good, I think Washington has a good shot at winning this game.
Absolutely, really excited for what lays ahead of the Huskies. Huge opportunity, and there will be no better place to find your coverage than Dogman.com. So bookmark it in your Chrome browser. Go Dogs.
Or Safari or Firefox, whatever it might be.
Or Microsoft Edge.
Who knows? But yeah, go Dogs. Playing for the Natty, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.